Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to Warn Radio Advocacy and Gospel News for the Persecuted Church. I am Tower, and we are glad you joined us for today's show. Warn Radio Advocacy Broadcast for the Persecuted Church is a fast-moving gospel news program. This show is not a call-in show, and we do not accept calls. Today is July 10th, 2019, and our scripture reading for this week is Numbers chapter 22, starting at verse 2 through chapter 25, verse 9. Micah chapter 5, verses 6 through chapter 6, verse 8. And the New Testament portion is Luke chapter 22, verses 1 through 71. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. All correspondence and inquiries of broadcasts of the WIBR Warn Radio Network can be sent to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. So that's the only way you can contact us, as we do not respond through social media. Be sure to read the pertinent articles by The Watchman. America's Truth of Men, Donkeys, and Elephants. America's truth today is pervasive. Where do we find it? Never in the news. The hateful, spiteful, and divisive news is boring today. The same things for months now, all being socialized through Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, just to name a few. Breitbart, Fox, and other so-called conservative sites seem to put up this news some of the left is headlining. It is like repeating a no-no word your mom warned you about. America's endangered state of the union. America's endangered state of the union is here. The attack on the nation we live in is perilous. It is divisive. It attacks the fabric of who we are. On this 4th of July and every day after that, the threat is in your face. Every word, every vowel, and every action speak loudly. To read more on those articles, go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. You can also listen to our shows there. And you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Look for #WatchmanIS216. And on Instagram and Twitter, also look for hashtag Warn Radio. And on LinkedIn, it is Watchman. Now, before I invite the Watchman, here is a word.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
And now I welcome in the Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Great. What's going on?
Well, we're here and we are cruising through July. Seems like we always cruise through these things.
I know. I hate it because our summer is going fast and I don't want it to.
Yeah, well, when you figure that next month is August, I mean, you know, just hard to believe.
I know.
At any rate, we are here on our advocacy broadcast, but we are also look at a few other important items that have come across. And, you know, it's good to have somebody like CBN covering a bunch of this stuff, because you usually don't find these kind of things in the liberal media.
Well,
a 10-year-old girl and boy were suspended after asking to be excused from LGBT class lesson. You know, the problem with an LGBT class lesson is I don't blame them. And
yeah,
this country is dead set on defilement and godlessness. Now, if people want to live in that lifestyle, that's one thing. But, you know, filling the fodder of the LGBT agenda down and pushing it down children's throat should be outlawed. And that's not the only thing we push down. And that is when we have transsexuals and others who do their thing before children. Trans storytelling hour and other things.
Yeah.
And the other day it was advertised where they had both adult and children transsexuals dressing little boys up in girls. You see, what that does is makes these kids think that this is all right. Now, see, in America, we have laws, and yes, you can live in that lifestyle if you want. But before God, no matter what any pastor says, these lifestyles are an abomination.
Yes,
and you know, Jesus told the Pharisees, speaking of the proselytes and the kids that they were turning into Pharisees, he said, "You make them two more fold the child of hell than you yourselves are." And that's what America, its school system, is doing to our children right now.
That's right.
You know, and the thing of it is, Casey and a classmate named Farrells were studying in school, at a school in South London, both asked to be excluded from a school lesson that promoted LGBT Pride Month. The teacher told the students that the lesson was part of the curriculum and refusing to participate was not an option. Now, of course, this is in the story itself in the UK, but the problem you have is we have the same thing here.
We have
it going on all the time here. And so Casey and Farrell were told that they were homophobic and were accused of making anti-LGBT comments in the class. Now, see, that's the big thing. The LGBT community and the governments of men always accuse you of being homophobic. You know, I don't care what you call it, but it's a sin. Now, I don't preach on it because it's not my job to preach on it. The scripture says in the last book of the Bible, Revelation 22, "He that is wicked, let him be wicked still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still." You can read the rest of it. And he goes on to say, "For I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be." We are living in a godless time, and there's going to be those who live different lifestyles. And they can go ahead and continue to do it, because there's going to be two harvests when we're done. A harvest of the righteous and a harvest of the wicked. Now,
that's
if you're
right.
a Christian kid, and if you're biblically centered, you're going to believe that these kind of things, according to Scripture, is wrong. And it is.
Exactly.
Now, you,
exactly.
Now we have pastors who don't think it is. We have people that don't think it is. We have governments that don't think it is. And frankly, fine. You know, go ahead and believe it. Now, I can tell you the truth, but you already know the Scriptures. But the bottom line of it is here is that you have two children getting caught up. And Casey said she didn't even know what the word homophobic meant. And she says, I was confused when she said I was being very homophobic. I'm not homophobic. I'm just against the point of putting in schools and teaching it to children. That's right.
Yeah,
you make it mandatory.
Very wise. Which is wrong. They have no business putting it in the schools.
They don't. And, you know, and in America, if you think we don't have this stuff being taught and being pushed, you're nuts. Because we do.
Yeah.
And dressing up, you know, little boys in dresses all the time and thinking it's cute instills in these kids that this is okay.
Yeah.
It's not okay. Now, you can look at the law in America and around the world, that's fine. And, you know, I don't have any problem, you know, living next to people, just as long as they don't flaunt whatever they're doing in front of me. I no more want to live around this stuff than I would like being around a drunk that comes home at 1 o'clock in the morning, gets drunk, noisy, cursing, yelling, screaming, and being a drunk and a menace.
Yeah.
Well, nevertheless, there are a lot of potential problems to this. But the only argument here is stop teaching it to the children. But see, this is
yeah.
the UK, and the UK is more of a whore than America is. And UK, I got news for you. With all the Muslims you have, and these are radicals up there, it ain't going to take long when you get a civil war to have some real trouble there. And if you think the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is going to bail your butt out, you're nuts because of what you've been doing and what you believe. When judgment comes, it's going to be too late.
Mm-hmm.
End of story.
Well, anyway, I was glad these two had the courage. God gave them the courage to stand up against this. And Casey was saying that I think they're trying to confuse the children by teaching this. Before all this happened, they were completely confident of who they were, but now they're not. And she says, she explains the kids are losing self-confidence. Well, sure they are. It's really affecting the kids. They're losing the confidence in themselves and thinking, why am I this person? Why shouldn't I be someone else? Yeah, and this school, you know, teachers are saying that this is doing children good, but it's not. And since this came out and into the schools, children are now facing the choice of what gender they are. They shouldn't even have to do anything like that. And despite suspending Casey and Farrell for expressing their beliefs, the school displays the value of mutual respect on their website. And it says, within our schools, we have created safe and supportive environments where children are able to voice opinions and make their own choices. Well, maybe that teacher needs to go back and read that.
Yeah. I would say so.
Yeah. And more than 23,000 people have signed a petition to support Casey and other brave students who are asking to be excused from LGB class lessons. LGBT. Good for them.
Well, I can tell you, if I was in school, I would leave. And if they didn't like it, tough. And, of course, today they've got them. We didn't have that much of a problem when I was going to school. If you didn't go to school, you know, they would send someone after you and make you go to school.
Yeah, the truant officer would come after you.
Yeah, we didn't have truant officers. I never seen one. But it wouldn't make any difference. I wouldn't go to your stinking class anyway. If I didn't want to go, I wouldn't go. And if it violated what I believe, I don't care what you say.
Yeah.
But the bottom line of it is that we have regularly seen this kind of bull going on more and more.
For years.
For years, yeah. Well, at any rate, we got to move on. I want to touch on one other thing, and that's the Early Rain Christian Church. That's actually the Early Rain Covenant Church. Now, this is Wang Yi's church. Him and his wife were both thrown into jail. She was later released. He's still in prison. This is part of China's crackdown. But in a further crackdown, you see, when they cracked down, they went in and made everybody in the church sign a petition. They had to sign agreements. And a number of them wouldn't sign. And, of course, nobody could attend church. They couldn't have church in their houses. They couldn't do nothing. But according to China Aid, Bob Fu, which this guy's been doing this for a long time, he said a Christian man was held under secret incarceration in a basement. It was in the Public Security Bureau office.
Really?
Yeah, there in China. And, well, it's like locking him up in jail. He refused to give them the passwords to his computer and cell phone. And so the father was finally allowed to meet with him. And he reported that his son did not look well, but he had been singing hymns and worship songs in the police station. And allegedly, when he does so, the station's whole environment changes. Now, this man is affiliated with the Early Rain Covenant Church, and that's the one that's been under government persecution.
Yeah, they held him for months and not allowing him to even see the sunlight.
So, you know, the bottom line of it is this is the ongoing baloney with China. And, of course, we've said that we should not be trading with China, but that's almost impossible.
Right.
But, you know, if you're a consumer, try not to buy Chinese goods. Buy anybody else's but theirs.
Which is very hard.
But, yeah. I mean, if you go into the home appliances, like for kitchen, almost all of that says made in China. You'll find a few made in America, but not very much. And if it does say something about America, it'll usually say assembled in America.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is really a pain. But at any rate, Tower, are you ready with one of yours?
Yeah. I'd like to share this story about the singing doctor. He is probably retired by now. But he, early in his career, he was in with another doctor and delivering babies, and this doctor would always sing to the babies. And this doctor asked him one day, he said, "Do you sing to your babies?" And he said, "No." And he says, "Well, you need to start singing to them." So he took, and this other doctor retired, so Dr. Andrew picked up the mantle and started singing to babies. And now after his 40-year career is over, but he has delivered and sang to over 8,000 babies, and he received a special nickname of the Singing Doctor, and he sang to every one of them. And the songs he loved to sing to them were Happy Birthday and Louis Armstrong's hit, What a Wonderful World. And he explained that, to me, it's a wonderful thing in my hand, the miracle of life. And the rest of it is, is that it's a beautiful world we live in. We forget all about the crisis going on everywhere for a moment when you see that miracle in front of you. And he says he likes to sing, and so that's why he started doing that. And I, now 4 decades later, Dr. Andrew has sung his last lullaby at the hospital. At the end of June, he officially retired, and he had also stopped delivering babies a few years ago, but kept seeing his OB patients, and it isn't and it was, he would visit the patients in the hospital wing after the babies were born, and he would still sing. He'd check on the moms and babies and give them the gift of a song. And Lindsey Graham was one of the last moms to receive this gift. And she said, "We're so excited to have a new addition to our family. So to have him sing to one of our babies would be awesome." And he sang his signature song, What a Wonderful Life. He said that the last baby he sang to was just as important as the first. And each of them is an individual, you know. I've delivered thousands and thousands of babies. When I'm singing to those babies, I think I'm singing to a future important person. That's the credit I give to all of them. And so I hope somebody else picks up that mantle and starts singing to the babies. And it's just a wonderful story that what he seen those babies as miracles. And there's others that are trying to abort them. And so I thought it was a good story to share. Amidst abortion and garbage going on, we have someone that loves life and loves these babies, and they're just a miracle, which they are. They're a miracle from the living God.
Well, that's a lot of babies.
It is.
That
it's
is
amazing.
That's a lot of diapers, and that's a lot of babies. And I can guarantee you
wonderful.
that this doctor is pro-life, not pro-abortion.
Yeah. And I like the fact that he felt that he was holding a future important person in his hand, every one of them. They were important to him, and he's seen them as being important.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I just love that.
Yeah, that's a good story.
It is.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about America, Israel, and Iran. And I've been monitoring Israel, and one of the places I go is over to Jerry Golden's site to see what he has to say. He's a Messianic Jew. He's been doing his ministry for many, 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 many years. And, of course, you know, the big thing. Now, today I had seen where Trump was upping the stuff against Iran. So they were going to even put harsher penalties on Iran. And Iran, the last time they did it, said, if you keep doing this, it'll be war. And then, of course, they said again that if the U.S. Attacks Iran, it will destroy Tel Aviv and all of Israel. Now, to show you how much this is a topic, I was on Instagram, our account, and we have a lot of people that we follow, and a lot of people follow us. And so part of this, we follow Netanyahu. And there was a story from Israel about him visiting their planes. And, of course, he's doing it to send a message to Iran. But a comment in there, because Netanyahu said we'll be able to fly these things anywhere in Iran. And this Arab boy said that you won't be able to land in Israel, implicating that Israel wouldn't be there. There's no place to land. And so I left a little remark there that it's foolish, something about being foolish to think that Israel would survive instead. You know, that's what I was getting at. But at any rate, he didn't take to that very kindly. Of course, he wasn't mean and nasty back. But see, it's a touchy subject. And it's a touchy subject with Jerry because he reports, and one of the biggest things that we find over the years, when Israel retaliates, especially over in Gaza, they shoot at empty buildings, they warn the people, and they leave. So Israel and its citizens get targeted and hurt and killed, while many in Gaza, you know, can, you know, get warned before they blow it up. Well, nevertheless, you know, Jerry was talking about Iran saying that if the U.S. attacks, it'll destroy Tel Aviv. And if they don't release the Iranian oil tanker headed to Syria, it will attack a British tanker in the Persian Gulf. And this is what he said. Yeah, he said, keep in mind, we are not dealing with normal human beings. These are Islamic, evil, sick people who want to bring in their 12th imam, who you will call the Antichrist. Now, you see, we've talked about the 12th imam. And I have written articles on him. I have done shows regarding him. And Jerry is absolutely correct. This is what Iran's goal is. And this particular imam is supposed to show up out of the desert somewhere. You know, Christ came in from the desert after his 40 days of fasting. And you will find that a lot of these things always try to follow what Christ did.
That's right.
And so he warned that Israel said that Iran would begin to enrich uranium as high and as much as they please. And there's only reason to do that is to build nuclear bombs.
Yep.
And, you know, the thing of it is that Trump is squarely placed right in the middle. And Jerry was saying that Trump has the forces in position to put an end to this evil regime. And by all appearances, Iran is calling Trump's bluff. Now, see, in America, nobody wants him to attack Iran. Now, Iran also is friends with Russia. So, you know, there's a lot of potential trouble here. But, you know, Israel, if they do nothing and Trump does something like put more penalties on Iran, Iran holds Israel responsible. Israel doesn't fly over their territory. They do send those little drones over. I think one got caught not too long ago. But there's a lot of people here that hope Trump doesn't take out Iran or try to. Iran said there's no way that he can do it because they believe that they have the anointing of their God to bring in the 12th imam. This is how detrimental this is. You know, these people... And they're not the only one. If you have Erdogan to it, he's a Sunni. He's opposite of what the others. He wants to bring in a caliphate, like the old Ottoman Empire, and rule the world. And you've got other little prophecies and things in there from various Islamic groups as well. So, you know, the bottom line of it is it's a dangerous world. And so keep your eye on Israel. This thing is really a pain. You can go over to Jerry's website at thegoldenreport.net and read what he does. And if you have a mind to, you can actually donate to Jerry. He's been doing this, his ministry, for a lot of years. And their main job is to bring Jews into Israel, and they have the boats and stuff to help them get into Israel. So, you know, that's when you look at it, you know, it's just, you know, it's one of those things, you know, and no matter what you do, there's a problem. If you do nothing, they're a threat. If you do something, it's still a threat. So, well, at any rate, Tower and I are going to discuss another thing here. Patrick Buchanan has an article out. He puts it out every week. Trump's patriotism versus the new anti-Americanism. Now, I can guarantee you the Democrats that are liberals do not want in any way, shape, or form to do anything against Iran. Matter of fact, most of them, if it made them feel good, would actually embrace Iran. They would diss Israel entirely, and they would turn America into a socialist state. They would destroy your constitution.
Right.
They would burn your flag, and they would change this country's name. That's what they would do.
Yes, they would.
So at any rate, Patrick Buchanan he said one wonders where is all this negativity, this constant griping and grousing by the left going to lead. Do these people think America will turn with hope to a party that reflexively recoils at patriotic displays? By the way, because of the Trump fourth that he did, which broke all records that there was, and in the latest article, I write a little bit about it, and this was confirmed by a number of sources, and Trump said he's going to do an even bigger one next year. His approval rating went up. So the left absolutely hates him for it. Then he got another victory today because of the Supreme Court, one ruling where it had to do with his Trump hotels, and they were two states had sued him, and these were liberal states. And they lost the suit because if it would have gone forward, it would have hurt Trump. You know, the whole bottom line of it is to get him out of office. That's what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
So Pat goes on to say, despite all the grousing and griping about his politicizing of the 4th of July and militarizing America's birthday, President Donald Trump turned the tables on his antagonists and pulled it off. Now, Tower, you and I watched that. And that was anything but politicizing.
That's right.
You know,
he was not campaigning for 2020. He was talking about America being great. That's what it was about.
And, you know, some of his things that he said, together, we are part of one of the greatest stories ever told, the story of America, said Trump. It is the epic tale of a great nation whose people have risked everything for what they know is right and what they know is true. What a great country, declared the president. For Americans, nothing is impossible. Ours is the most exceptional nation in the history of the world. Now, you know, these are great words. Do you know Trump today had another endorsement? Do you know what BET TV is, B-E-T? The Black Entertainment.
Black Entertainment. Yeah, it's television. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the guy that started that came out and supported Trump and said he's doing a great job and that the Democrats have gone too far to the left. That's what he said.
Yeah, that's good.
And for all the years that the Democrats thought they were going to get all blacks, and they had that sewed up, there's some blacks that ain't as stupid as these liberals think they are. That they actually know when an economy's good. They know when some guy's trying to do a good job. Now, see, that's the problem. He's just trying to do a good job.
Yeah.
What?
And put people, I said, put people to work, and they're working.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unemployment's the lowest it's ever been for years.
And I'll tell you, the thing of it is most of them didn't like the flexing of American muscles. Well, America's military muscle. Well, I was raised in this country. I was birthed in this country. The minute I was born, my dad would tell me about World War II. He would tell me about my grandfather's role, and he was featured in the LA Times several times. My dad was a Navy medic in the Middle East, not Middle East, but the Far East in the islands where Japan had invaded. When Japan hit Pearl Harbor, my dad was still in school, and Grandpa told him to go down to the wharf. Now, see, my grandfather was a game warden of sorts. He is in charge of the waters off of Catalina Island. And he said, you go down there and shoot anything that you see coming out of the sky. So he went down there. When my dad got married and all of our family, my grandmother, grandfather, my mom, my dad were all Christian, all believers. I was raised in Sunday school, raised as going to the parade on the 4th of July, going to celebrate, knowing that we're a great country, knowing who we are. I was birthed. And so the problem we have with people today is they're not birthed into America. They're just simply Americans that came over here. They refuse to speak our language. They refuse to fit in. They separate in their own little segregated groups. They want their rights. They want to be able to serve and do their own thing, and to hell with America. And that's pretty much where we're at today. And this is the problem in America. Now, you know, Pat does, he says here that Gallup says 76% of Republicans say they are extremely proud to be an American, but only 22% of the Democrats will say the same thing, which is a drop from last year. And, in 2013, the beginning of Obama's second term, 56% of Democrats said they were proud to be Americans. That's because everything was going their own way. That's because Obama, he was making it a globalist policy. Everywhere he went, he apologized for America. He constantly did things that tore our country down. And, there's a whole bunch of things. Yeah.
He should not have been apologizing for America.
And so, you know, one thing that I think that Pat said, he said, listening to the Democratic debates and the depiction of the nation and its economy by the candidates, one would think we were living in the Paris of Les Miserables or the London of Charles Dickens. And, you know, the thing of it is, he asked the question, from liberals and progressives, we constantly hear griping, grousing, and grievances. When do we hear the gratitude for America? You see, that's the problem with the Democrats and the liberals. There is no gratitude.
Yeah, that's right.
And once you learn, one of the communist and socialist strategies to bring a country down is, number one, tear down the family. Number two, get rid of the Word of God in churches, infiltrate them, make them liberal. Another thing of it is stop the family, destroy the family as it is and recreate the family. And that's what we've already done. And the other thing of it is that in order to destroy a country, you have to overburden it with the socialist part of it, you know, trying to take care of people. So you flood the border with illegals. You give them free stuff. You do everything you can. It'll tax the system. The system will fail. And when the system fails, the country fails. And then you can force the people of America to accept your version of socialism. This is all in the book. When you look at socialism and socialist takeovers, this is exactly what we have going on today in this country. And so while Trump is there,
right,
while we have Trump here today, he is a friend of a lot of people. But he makes America more of a friend to Israel than Obama ever thought of. Obama would not even have touched one iota of 1% of what Trump has done. But the bottom line of it is, if Trump gets defeated, everything can be undone. This country will head back to the left. But the thing of it is, Pat says this: how does a party, three of four of whose adherents profess no pride in its political system, persuade the nation to put it in charge of the system? How does a party, not one-fourth of whom are extremely proud to be an American, persuade a majority of Americans to entrust it with the leadership of their nation? See, that's his question.
That's a good question.
How could you vote for the liberal Democrats today, when you have no pride in the political system? Why would we vote for you when you have you're not even proud to be an American? You don't care. And
that's right.
You know, the America of AOC and her three buddies is idiocy. She's just a know-nothing who got
herself
elected. She's
full of pride. Yeah, she's full of pride now.
But see, the thing of it is,
she's running the party.
But, you know, the bottom line of it is, it's not just her. There's a whole bunch of them, not just her.
Right. That's right.
And so the bottom line of it is, if you love this country, you better stand up. And you'd better make sure you know who you're going to vote for. Because if you vote for the wrong one, you're going to be in trouble.
Amen.
So now, you know, another one we got to do. What time is it? Well, we got time, and then you could do... Yeah, we'll do your other one. I want to do this. I read this thing and I was horrified. And this is about a young man in France. And he got hurt in an accident. And he is living in a vegetative state. He's not terminally ill, and his health is not declining. He will respond to certain sounds. He can swallow. He can breathe on his own without assistance. His food and water has been administered through a gastric tube. Now, see, after several years, the medical team couldn't help him any, so they recommended his care should stop. So it went to court. The court decided that they would stop his food supply. His parents don't like it. They want that to change.
Yeah. I can understand.
Now, some of the family believes he needs to die. Some of the family think he needs to live. His mother said he sleeps at night. He wakes up during the day. He looks at me when I talk. He only needs to be fed through a special device, and his doctors want to deprive him of this so that he can die, while legal experts have shown that this is not necessary. Now, the bottom line of it is, the man himself, upon hearing that they were going to cut his food supply and he would basically starve to death, was crying. And so the question of it is this humane or murder? To me, it's murder.
It's
not
murder.
Humane.
Yeah. It's very inhumane.
And I know people don't believe in miracles. But the bottom line of it is, this is a guy that could experience a miracle.
And he obviously doesn't want to die because he cried when he learned about his planned death, you know?
Yeah. You know, there are so many issues that are heartbreaking.
Oh, it is.
And this is one of them. And
yes, I feel for his mother and him and his mother.
Yeah. It just... unconscionable. But see, this is the socialist, globalist European healthcare that they have over there. We've seen this, some of the same things in the UK. You don't have any rights under their healthcare. Once you go to government sponsored healthcare and they can take your records and basically take you over, you have no rights. Now, in America, you have the same thing because my mother faced that. Now, I wasn't there next to the family to voice my opinion because they let me know after it was already done. And I wasn't very happy about it. I was just simply told, you wouldn't want to be there anyway. But see, even in America, you can lose your rights and they can put you in places you don't want to go. And I'm not talking jail. I'm talking hospitals. And
yep.
So this young man, he can't defend himself. And his only defense is his mother and those who side with her for him to live. Well, and they are going to get some help. And I hope it works out.
Me too.
But it's... I don't know. It's just one of those things. Now, I also want to tell you, if you're interested in Pat Buchanan, just do a search on the web for Pat Buchanan, and you'll find his website. You can sign up to get everything he writes. So at any rate, we've got another one here. Tower's going to do this one. Are you ready?
Yep. It's out of Uganda. And it's from Morningstar News. And it's about a young man. His name is Osman Kyrie. And he's missing his last year of high school in eastern Uganda because he became a Christian 2 years ago. He is now homeless and without money to pay school fees since his Muslim stepfather disowned him earlier this year. The 20-year-old said he wouldn't, Osman said he wouldn't be able to finish high school anyway, even if he had the money, because he's in fear of his classmates who are Muslim, as they might plan to kill him. And he spoke from experience, having been informed that Osman was living at a village church building. Local Muslims with sticks and Somali swords on June 15th attacked, demanding his death as they tried to enter the church. And Christians and Muslim neighbors in the predominantly Muslim area, with the help of local officials, managed to repel the assailants. And Osman has sought shelter at the home of a Christian at an undisclosed location. And on April 7th, his stepfather waited for him along with seven other radical area Muslims on a roadside as Osman made his way home from a church service. His stepfather beat him with a blunt object, leaving him unconscious, his clothes bloodied, his left leg broken, and his right hand injured. As he was, as he cried for help, several members of the church were still around and rushed to the scene. And when the Muslims saw the big number coming from the church, they ran, leaving the man unconscious. He was rushed to a hospital and discharged after a week, and he's not been able to go home since. He said his stepfather told him he was a disgrace to the family, and after recovering, I feared going back home because I knew they were going to kill me. So he needs to, Osman needs to find a place to stay and have the opportunity to attend school elsewhere. And so this attack is the latest of many cases of persecution of Christians in eastern Uganda. And under Uganda's constitution and other laws, they provide for religious freedom, including the right to propagate one's faith and convert from one faith to another. And Muslims make up more than 12% of Uganda's population, with the high concentrations in eastern areas of the country. You know what I thought was amazing? That when he was being beaten by his stepfather, that was that the one, or was it before that? It was before that Christians and Muslim neighbors in the predominantly Muslim areas, you know, came to the help, and the local officials came to his help, Christians and Muslim neighbors. So I find that amazing that they, they didn't like that violence in that
area.
Osman, being attacked. They knew it was wrong, so.
Well, you know, a lot of times you overlook that people that choose to get along together, like Christians and Muslims and other groups, are really subject to violence from these radicals who don't want that peace to exist.
That's right.
And that's where the real problem is. And, you know, I think that's a great story. And when you and I cover these things, sometimes you think that we've reached everybody in the world. Well, the Joshua Project is one that looks for unreached people groups. Now, they're not the only ones out there. But they talked about the Yenoso, the Yenonosu. Now, that's a language, but it's also the people. The people, Noso is the language. It's a distinct language. It's in southern China. They dress differently totally. They look totally different than regular Chinese. They don't even look like Chinese. And they said there's 24 nationalities, the black Noso Yi, that's Y-I, in this particular area. Now, the Yenonosu is just one of them. And it's interesting that the history of this tribe is that they took slaves and fought against Chinese authorities and other Noso groups for centuries. They were finally disarmed, and the slave system was abolished by the communists because they did take slaves. And so this was in 1956. This is how far these people go. And they said, still today, these people are aggressive and fierce.
Huh.
And they know where they're from, the caste, so they're very distinct. They have a different kind of dress. But the thing of it is, they have various things, this Noso tribe, this Yenonosu. They have a legend of a great flood, and that there were three brothers, and at any rate, The third one actually built a boat out of wood, rather, and he built it in 20 days, and later the rains came and he survived. The other two sons died. Now, what does that sound like to you?
Noah's Ark.
Yeah. Well, sort of. See, there's a lot of these kind of stories that are kind of relating to Christianity, but they're not Christianity. They've never heard the gospel. Because of where they live, the high mountains, rugged terrain, and then the linguistic and cultural barriers, that remember, they're a fierce people. The gospel has not spread to them. But there are around a few hundred of them that are Catholic. So a Catholic priest managed to get there.
Wow.
Yeah. Huh.
That's pretty amazing.
Well, I think it is amazing because you think, man, we've covered the world, but this story tells you that. Now, see, you're not going to reach this group by talking on the internet.
Yeah,
the only way to reach people, you know, we talk about, the scripture says this gospel will be preached in all the world, and then the end shall come. The gospel is going to be preached first. The end ain't coming until this gospel gets preached in all the world. And so we consider that all these people have to hear the gospel. Well, it's not going to be done by radio or television unless you give them the technology and show them how to use it. It's going to be won by missionaries and native pastors and evangelists who willingly risk their lives to go to these places to share the gospel. So I find
That's
this
right.
absolutely, you know, this is, there are some places that are still needing this wonderful gospel.
That haven't,
you know,
been
Paul,
reached that.
Yeah,
I find
Paul,
that amazing.
I do too. And the stories, you know, like Noah, there's, yeah. And you think about it, you know, if they were given this as a verbal tale, you know, around the fire, they could have easily, by the time they heard this, they could have easily, had it changed just by the giving of the story, because that occurs. You know, you don't really know what the origin of that story came from, but it is.
I find it hard to believe in this day and age that there's still people out there that haven't been reached with the gospel.
We've got to get out of here, but.
Okay. Okay. Well, good night, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We love you. We pray for you. May God richly bless you as you endeavor to work for him. Good night, everybody.
We'll see you tomorrow night on Remnant Battle Lines. This is the Watchman. Be blessed. Look up to him. Shalom, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.